Hello and welcome to Brand Your Passion, the show that helps you turn the thing you love the most into something that people know and love you for. I'm your host, Holly Arnett, the brand coach for creatives, and I'm on a mission to make the world a more creative place, one brand at a time. If you're ready to get more eyes on your work, more dollars in your pocket, and more creativity in your life, you're in the right place. Welcome. Let's brand your passion. Welcome to this week's episode of Brand Your Passion. I am so excited because this week I'm joined by my wonderful friend Ariel Bissett. Welcome Hello. To the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be on.
You're very welcome. I was like, who can I choose who's an incredible creator and has a great brand, multiple brands you have, which we'll talk about.
Oh gosh, that's true actually. Yeah, you're right.
And it was so cool because yesterday I was looking back on my emails to find out when we had first been introduced to each other.
Through our mutual
friend Charlie.
Yes.
And it was in January of 2018. So you and I have been working together on many different projects for like 2.5 years now.
That's crazy. That's a long time.
Time has also flown though, I feel like.
It has.
Yeah, happens when you're having fun, which we have done We have worked on things like your literary magazine. We've worked on your podcast, Books Unbound, the cover of your book, and also the like branding and merch and everything for your readathon, The Reading Rush. So we have done many fun things.
When you put it that way, I sound very good. Like, I sound very official. I have many things going on.
Well, you do, and they're all brilliant. And I also, I don't think I've told you about this, but I love to brag about you to all my friends and tell people that I am 2 degrees of separation away from people like John Green and Margaret Atwood and Bill Gates and frickin' Michelle Obama. I'm like, my friend, she has interviewed all of them. So
that
I am
is
like
so funny.
Yeah.
You I'm sound like my
one
parents.
Away. Yeah. I just am like, I'm so close to these famous people and I have a famous friend. So
that's so
great.
Funny. I love that. That's really
cool. So I've mentioned a little bit about you and all the things that we've been up to, but do you want to introduce yourself to the people? If you can share with us what your preferred pronouns are, that would be really nice. And share with us a little bit about what your passion is.
Yeah, so my name is Ariel, like you mentioned. I live in Canada. I'm out in British Columbia, and I'm 25. I always like to mention my age because whenever I listen to things like this, I'm always curious how old people are. I'm like, at what point in your career were you doing this thing? You know what I mean? So I'm 25. My preferred pronouns are she, her. And so basically, the little breakdown of my life story. When I was 16, I was in high school and I read a lot. If you guys are watching the video version of this podcast, you can see all the books behind me. That was on purpose, guys. I read a lot in high school and I loved reading, but I also loved talking about the books that I would read. And I really didn't have anyone to talk to about books. Like, I have very clear memories of going to my mom, like, as she was doing the laundry and just following her around for an hour, telling her the entire plot of a book and then telling her what I felt about the plot. Like, having to, like, build my own book club through verbal communication because I was like, nobody reads. So when I was 16, I was like, YouTube was starting to become a thing. And I was watching like a lot of British vloggers mainly. And I just remember one day typing in a book and finding a couple of young women like me. Most of them like were in their early 20s, but like, you know, it felt like not something that was a different community that it would be really hard for me to get into. No, it was just like young women uploading videos about them reviewing books. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I just spent 1 week watching all of these videos, consuming this content, trying to understand what this weird community was. And back then it didn't have a name, but now everyone calls it BookTube. And then I got my dad to help me set up a YouTube channel, and the rest is history. So I've spent the last 9 years making book content online, and that varies. I do still, like, my predominant main thing is still my YouTube channel, making book related content, but I also have a book podcast. I run a, like, yearly, I do a week-long readathon during the summer called The Reading Rush, which you know all about because you did the branding for. Yeah, and there are other tangential things that go off into my different bookish spheres, but I am fully self-employed, so I have been working for myself in some ways since I was 16, because, like, that's when I started my, I call it my little empire, but yeah, ever since I was 16, I've been building this, but I guess ever since I graduated, maybe, is when I then would be, like, fully working full time, because before that I was obviously doing it in tandem with school. Yeah, so that's me, Holly. Yeah.
I love it. So it's like just books all day, every day, reading, yeah, talking about books, interviewing other people about books, creating, yeah, products, so all, and services, all about those, books.
Yes, all of those interviews that you mentioned at the beginning were all because of books. Obviously, Margaret Atwood is an author, but Michelle Obama had come out with Becoming that year. Bill Gates, I was talking to him about books that are, like, about climate change and the environment. So yeah, it's all books. It all bubbles down to literature.
I love it so much. And so, yeah, I mentioned that, like, the reason I wanted to talk to you is because, one, you're, like, an incredible creative person who is living out, you know, your dream and the dream of many people who get to read books for a living. but also because you've built this personal brand of yours, as well as several other kind of sub brands that, yeah, are totally part of your thing, but also kind of live on their own, and you do that with Raylene. So I wanted to talk to you first a little bit about your personal brand. So I presume that this was just something that you started, created on your own, kind of when you, yeah, were 16 and this thing whole started. So did you do anything kind of intentionally in terms, no, of your brand from the beginning? And yeah, was that, yeah, how did that kind of happen, and how's it kind of changed over time?
And how's it going now? Yeah, that's, yeah, a really good question. And I think it's very interesting because I really did not have any intention of a brand when I first started. Like I mentioned, I was 16. I was 16 for like 2 weeks and then I turned 17, but still, like, a very much a teenager in high school. This was 9 years ago. So this was before we really had influencers in the way that we have them now. And I had never heard anyone say, like, personal brand. Like, I would never have heard that come out of a person's mouth. So very much I had no clue what that was. But when I look back on it, I do see that there were a few things I was doing that were branding. I just didn't think of them actively as branding. So when I first started, my YouTube channel actually had a username, because that was the thing back then. It was not, the cool thing was not to have your name. So for the first year of my channel, I had a username, and I would make sure, for example, to get that same username on every platform that I ever used, so that, you know, I had that brand consistency everywhere you went. I always used, like, the same end screen on all of my thumbnails. At the end of my videos, I mean, my thumbnails all had a very similar look, and I always started my videos in the same way. Which I still do now. I don't mean to. I think that it's just an ingrained habit after 9 years. All my videos start with me saying, hello, everybody. I don't mean to do that, but, like, now it's memed at me sometimes, where, like, people will be like, hello, everybody. And I'm like, ah, I cannot escape it. But yeah, like, I think a lot of those things were a brand. I just didn't think of it as a brand. And I also know that the kinds of things that I would talk about or read and share about were kind of really reflecting my own personality. So mm-hmm. I very obviously, it is my personal brand because my YouTube channel is not like me as a character. It's just me as Ariel. So it very much reflects what I am, and or maybe more aspirational, like what I hope I am, which mm-hmm. is bright and bubbly and happy and encouraging and entertaining, like fun, you know?
Yeah.
Those kinds of words are bubbly. That kind of vibe is the thing that I think I have going. And I think that if you go and look through my thumbnails now, and the great thing is obviously that because I'm not a corporation or even like a small company, it's just me, I can change and alter my brand slightly. It's never changed. I've never like hard pivoted. I've never been like everything's black and white and now it's full color. No, there hasn't ever been anything like really intense. But I have like slightly changed the way I've done my thumbnails or this is crazy. A couple of like a year ago, I think, or like 2 years ago, I was like, how am I not doing all of my, this is like a really fun fact I've never talked about anywhere. I was like, how is all of my font like stuff, like if I'm using text on a thumbnail or whatever, how am I not using Arial? Because my name is Ariel. I'm like, this is the no one's going to notice, but I care. And so I transferred to just using Ariel everywhere I can. Yeah, so little things like that don't make that big of a difference, but to me, continue that brand of like, haha, I'm just having a good time trying to be me. Yeah, that's just a little fun fact for you, Holly.
Yeah, I like love that so much.
I thought you would appreciate that.
Yeah, one, it's like, font jokes, you've got me. But also, you're so right in that even if people don't know that, or now they hear this story,
yeah,
that just adds to your brand in that.
It is so on brand, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like Ariel's just this person who's going to do fun, silly things like that because yeah. It makes you laugh, it makes you smile. And so it is part of your brand, even though it's just like because it's your name. So yeah, I love that.
I love it. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, and so I noticed that you don't really have a logo, and this is something that I talk about quite a lot, is that as a personal brand, I don't actually think you necessarily need one, which can be quite a controversial kind of thing to say as a branding designer.
I love it. I love the controversy of the branding world.
Yeah.
Should you have a logo?
Trust me, design Twitter would blow up, but but it's true, like obviously when a lot of people think of branding, that's the first thing that they think of, is like I gotta get a logo, that's what I gotta do, but you don't have one that I know of that I could find, and so was that something that was an intentional decision? You just were like, I just don't feel like I need one. What was that kind of thought?
Imagine if right now I was like, I do have a logo, I guess I just haven't shared it good enough. No, I don't have a logo. So let me think about this. So basically, like I said, I've been doing this for about 9 years, so let's just say 10 years for the sake of this example here. For the first 5 years I had no logo, then the middle year I had a logo, and then for the last 5 years I haven't had a logo. So basically that kind of balance. So halfway through, so this would have been around 2014, 2015, I don't really remember, I was sort of like, you know, I want to step up my game a little bit. I'd like a little bit more cohesion on my stuff. Maybe I could have a logo on my, like my banners or on my end screens, etc. And so I design, basically I have like an, you know, like when I sign stuff, like an autograph.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's my name in cursive. And then when I finish the L, I go around the whole thing with a heart. So, so it's just like my name and yeah. So that's kind of, if I can try and draw it out for you here, everyone, visually, Ariel in a heart with a B at the end. So I kind of designed that up really nicely. And I think I actually got my friend to do it for me on Photoshop because I didn't have Photoshop back then and I didn't know how to use it. And so then I used it for about a year on my banners and on my end screens and stuff. And I just, after it might not have even been a whole year, honestly. I just felt that I was trying to be something that wasn't me. It felt off-brand to have such a fancy brand, I guess, if that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. It felt like I was trying to push something and force something a little bit that I didn't really care about. I didn't have any attachment to that logo. I wasn't going, like, I like it as my autograph when I sign stuff. I really like it. That's why I chose it. But I don't feel that I'm never going to put it on merch. I don't have the kind of brand where I'm like, oh, I really need you to be able to pick me out of a lineup of brand logos. I'm like, no, my brand is like kind of my face. And my brand is just like the content that I make and the way that I share stuff. So I have not had a logo for the past 5 years, and I really have no intention on getting one. If I had, I would have already asked you to design it, you know what I mean? Like, because with all these other brands that I've created, they have felt very different. So for the podcast, I'm like, yeah, it could be just Raylene and me, like doing like a cheesy pose or something, you know, back to back holding books or something. But I had kind of an image of what I wanted the logo to look like. And what is different is that it does need to stand out in the, like, whatever podcast app you're using. Mm-hmm. I want you to recognize it and not just think, oh, it's just two other girls doing a podcast. But also, eventually, I would like to do merch, right? I'm kind of like, I would like Books Unbound. That's the name of the podcast. I don't even know if I've mentioned it so far. I'd like to do Books Unbound merch. And I'd love to have that be tied around a theme, which is like kind of what our logo is. And similar to the Reading Rush, so the readathon that I run every summer, that did need its own brand because it's not just me, first of all. Secondly, I kind of want these projects to be a little bit distant from me, not like distant like fully, because they are me and I want everyone who follows me to follow them, but I want them to have their own identity and their own flavor, and I want people when they look at them to have a very specific feeling, as opposed to when you're looking at me, it's a kind of a different feeling than I think you will have with these other brands. So there's definitely a time and a place for a logo, but not for me.
for sure, and that's what I kind of tell other people who are creators who have a personal brand, is that your face, like you said, often kind of becomes the replacement for your logo, because people are recognizing you as a person. They spot you on Instagram in your little profile photo. They see you on YouTube, your little thumbnail. Like, they see your face, and that's what they're looking for.
I totally agree.
And so, if you're not using a logo, you've mentioned a couple of things about like the kind of content that you create and the books that you read and that sort of thing. What kind of other things are you thinking about or doing to sort of establish your brand, to let people know that, hey, I'm Ariel, this is what I do? What's kind of, is it like your values, the way you show up online, being consistent, as you said? What's the strategy?
Right. I guess this is very interesting, because I guess for so much of my own brand, I don't think about it actively. I think it happens almost passively. There is some intentionality to it in different moments, but for the most part, I think I just naturally do what I'm making, and that ends up being my brand, right? But if I am to think about it, I think that there's two different aspects, and the first is the visual, and then the second is the content. So on the content wise part of it, I don't think about it. I just make the stuff that I'm excited to make. I have never thought to myself, I shouldn't make this because it's not really on brand. I have never thought that to myself. And I think that if I did start to think that, I'm going down the wrong path. That's maybe just my opinion. But as a person who has been in the YouTube / influencer world, it does scare me when people start to think of themselves as brands instead of thinking of themselves as people. I also do think of myself as an artist, because I write and I create different projects and stuff, and I think that as an artist, it would be a disaster if I started to think I shouldn't make this thing that I'm excited about or passionate about because it doesn't fit my brand. I think that would be a really big problem. And I have had moments in my career where it has become a bit of a problem. So for the first few years of my channel, probably the first like 4-5 years of my channel, I was a teenager, and then just in my early 20s, and I was reading only basically young adult fiction. Like, mm-hmm. I was reading The Fault in Our Stars type of literature, if people out there don't know what YA is. And that was my brand in many ways. And my brand was me reading young adult fiction. And as I got into my literature degree, and as I just became older, I was becoming more and more exposed to different books. And I also read a lot. So I was starting to get kind of tired of reading YA, because, you know, I'd read like 50 books a year. And if I was reading, let's say for 4 years I was reading only YA, that's 200 books, YA books. Like, I was kind of like, what else is there, guys? I was like, I think I've read enough of this for now. And so I started to branch out, and what I really realized was, wow, yes, I'm much more excited about adult books, and what are graphic novels, and what is this and what is that, right? And even though that's content, that's maybe that wouldn't seem like it's my brand, because my YouTube channel and everything that I do is so closely tied to what I read, it actually was a really big shift in my brand. I went from being a person who predominantly reads YA to a person who predominantly does not read YA. And that changed, it actually changes a lot, because, like, it's very interesting because it, like, the cover designs of YA are a lot brighter, they're a lot more pink, they're a lot more cute, etc. And so, though, like, a thumbnail where you're holding up a lot of YA books automatically looks different to a thumbnail where you're holding up a lot of adult books, right? And so that's has nothing to do with the branding I've chosen. It's the branding that the book has chosen, right? Or like that publisher has chosen. But it did change. And honestly, my channel very much stalled for a while as new people were finding my channel, but a lot of people were leaving my channel because they were like, oh, this girl doesn't review the types of books that I care about anymore. I'm going to leave. And I'm like, that's totally fine. And now, you know, many years later, I've kind of bounced back up and things are going well again, but that was definitely a thing. But all of that to just say, I've never let my brand stop my content. If I just want to make some, I make it. And then on the other side, like I was mentioning, is the visuals. So whenever I make something, I try and make it more pink and yellow. Like, those are not like active decisions, and I would never, I don't know if I would say pink and yellow would be my brand colors. Maybe they would be. I guess I haven't thought about it, but I've just noticed that whenever, like, I post a photo, I make it more yellow or more pink. Whenever I'm editing a video, it's very important to me that it has color correction on it, and that color correction is making the whole room look more pinky yellow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of happy, calm color. And you see that in my thumbnails, and you see that in my Instagram photos. So so visually, I'm also just trying to push the kind of, I am happy, I am nice, this is a calm place. That was a long answer, but that was my answer.
No, it's a great answer. And I think it's really interesting, what you said about not kind of thinking too much about your brand and letting that get in the way of what you're creating, especially, you're right, as like an artist and as a personal brand, because, you know, you're personal brand is you, and so it needs to be you, and so no matter what you choose to create, it's gonna, you know, be on brand because it is you,
right?
And I think that it's interesting that it kind of, as you changed, it kind of stalled and then grew back up again, because that happens, you know. I recently changed my kind of brand and what I was offering and what I was doing, and the same thing happened, because the audience that I had before was there for a specific thing, and then now they're like, okay, you don't really do that thing anymore. Totally. That's fine. Then you got to find a new audience, which is normal. And, you know, if anyone's listening and going through that process, then it's, you know, you will kind of grow back up as you find that new audience. So it's fine.
Yeah, I would totally encourage people to still do it. And I'm not going to say it's not scary or frustrating, especially if that brand, if we want to use that word, if that brand is your income. Like, yeah. This has always, like I mentioned, I've always been self-employed. This has always been my business, my work. And mm-hmm. so when I started, I never lost subscribe. Like, my subscriber count never went backwards, you know? It never yeah. started to go down. But it very much, like, stopped growing for mm. a long time. And during that, I was really scared. Mm. My views went down, like, I was getting less views on videos because I wasn't talking about the same kinds of books or making this exact same kinds of videos. But the two things that I super noticed were the first thing is the core group of people that really, really like you and know who you are, mm-hmm. they don't care. Like, yeah. and there will always be that core who is kind of excited about no matter what you do. They're kind of like, I just like you. They're yeah. like, I'm just here for your adventure and your journey and whatever kind of thing that you're excited about. Those people will be there and they will stick around. And then the second thing is you will find a new audience just mm-hmm. in the exact same way that you found the original audience. Like, you're not trapped in one audience. There's a quadrillion people on the internet, right? Like, yeah, you are always able to find a new audience, which is a very comforting thought, I think.
yeah, for sure. And I think, and you can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong about your experience, but that it's worth doing to feel excited about the content you're creating and yes. authentic and aligned with yourself and what you want to do. Yeah. Whereas if you had felt, you know, trapped in reading YA forever, yeah. you probably would have gotten a little bit like over it and being pretty miserable, and then your audience probably would have slowed down anyway because you yes. wouldn't have been as excited about creating.
And I have seen it happen on mm-hmm. other YouTube channels, and like, it is not important to name names. It, like, yeah. it's absolutely irrelevant, but I have seen it happen. It's not just YouTube, obviously. It's just yeah. across the board. It happens with television shows. It happens everywhere. Once some body of people or one person, once they believe that their brand is stuck and they then start to realize that they want to change but they feel that they can't, that's when problems, I think, worse, yeah. deeper problems happen. And like, if we use like TV, for example, there are shows that will like become really popular after like 3 or 4 seasons, but things have changed after 3 or 4 mm-hmm. seasons, right? Like, the world changes, we're in a new political climate, we're in blah blah blah, characters change, but they're like, no, we have to stay the same, like, we're not gonna allow ourselves to grow with our own show. And then the show like falls apart for the last few seasons and people stop watching, and then people yeah. stop talking about it altogether. And like I mentioned, I also see that happen on YouTube channels where people, like, you can tell that they're not passionate about mm-hmm. what they're talking about anymore. And I'm like, I would rather you like go from being a book channel to switching over to being a gardening channel that you're actually excited about yeah. rather than staying here as a book channel that you're like just lukewarm about, because mm-hmm. I truly believe that an audience can see that. Like, I truly believe that even if they can't pinpoint it, even if an audience member can't be like, I think what's going on here is that this person's brand has become stale. No, like, I don't think people would ever think that, but I think that they can just sense, like, this person isn't as enthusiastic about this. They're not, I don't feel their passion, and they won't subscribe or follow or buy or watch, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're in agreement. If you're feeling over it, you gotta change it.
You gotta change, my friend. It's scary, yeah. but it'll work out.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about these other brands that you've created.
Hell yeah.
So you mentioned that with your magazine and with the podcast and Reading Rush, that these were ones that you were like, okay, I need to get some help with these rather than just doing these myself, yes. or kind of letting them sit under my brand or whatever.
Totally.
What kind of made you make that decision to do mm-hmm. that? And how has that process been like different from obviously building your own brand?
Yeah. Well, I think the first biggest difference is the intentionality. Obviously, mm-hmm. everyone listening can tell that when it comes to my own channel, I am just trying to go with my own flow. Mm-hmm. I am trying to just make the stuff that I'm excited about. And I do think about things like, I do think deeply about, like, how, what are the visuals of this video and what is the message that I'm trying to share, but I'm maybe not thinking so actively about the brand. Whereas with my newer projects, like the podcast, like the readathon, etc., I do feel much more intentional, and I've actually sat down and been like, okay, what is this project? What is this? And I guess it feels different because it's not me specifically. It's a separate project. It's its own entity, its own one-off thing. And like, the podcast could end. I can't end, right? Like, well, yeah. I guess we're all gonna end. But like, but like, my brand will be ever evolving, ever changing as mm-hmm. I grow and change. And my quote unquote brand will be here when I'm 80, right? Yeah. Whereas Books Unbound podcast could end next year. So it is, it does feel more specific and a bit smaller, I guess, in a good way. That meant that I could like sit down and be like, okay, what is this? How do I want this to work? So the first, what was the first thing that we ever worked on together?
Do you remember? It was the magazine.
Oh, okay. Like, right. Yes, yeah. Totally. So I think it's really interesting that you keep mentioning the magazine, because it's the one project of all of the ones that we've done together that isn't launched. yeah. Which it's weird because that's the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's start with the magazine. So because that was the first time I ever really reached out for branding. So what I realized was I wanted to make a literary magazine. And I was like, okay, cool. I definitely want to do this. I've thought about doing this for years. I also had experience because I ran one of the magazines on my university campus. So I like kind of knew what it involved. And I really felt that I could do a great job creating my own team and doing this for real. And so I started thinking like, okay, I think of this as its own kind of smaller business, even like a mini business, but I thought mm-hmm. of it as a small business. I was like, how would I want it to look? And I was like, I want it to look awesome, and I don't have the skill to make it look awesome. I think I have the skill to make the content really good and to curate it and to market it or etc., but I don't have the like literal branding skills to make it look good. And I'm trying to remember, but basically I think I went to our mutual friend Charlie and I was like, Charlie, you know about branding stuff. Do you know anybody who might be able to help me make a logo? And she was like, you gotta check out this girl, Holly. And I was like, all right. And I looked you up and I was like, well, yeah, this looked perfect. At the time, you were also a lot more about hand lettering. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of your content was about hand lettering, and that was very much the style of thing that I was interested in. So I was like, yeah, this looks sweet. I also was really excited to work with a female creator, just because I just really thrive in that kind of environment. And so I was like, yeah, this would be awesome. So, yep, just reached out to you. And as you, I mean, you know this, but people listening don't. I basically was like, I'm doing this project and this is what I want. What would that look like? And that really was my first experience being, and I remember being nervous because I was like, you know, it was imposter syndrome, basically. I was like, I don't know what a brand is. I was like, I don't know what a logo is. I'm pretending I know, but I don't know. But one thing that Holly knows is that I always come prepared with a lot of source imagery. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Holly, here are 18 million photos of things I like. And I was like, I don't know if they're relevant, but here you go. And then, you know, from there, we made that mood board. And I was like, yep, this is totally the mood that I want. And we were able to keep moving forward. And then after that experience, I was kind of like, okay, this is really positive. Like, I feel now that if I were to talk about this magazine, I would feel proud to share it and to direct people to it. And so every time that I had another project where I was like, oh, I want it to feel that way again, I would just reach out to you and I'd be like, Holly, I have another thing and another thing and another thing. Just wait till the next one, Holly. Don't worry. There's always one coming.
I'm ready.
But yeah, so that's kind of how it happened for me. And the value has just been insane. I think it actually gives me more confidence in the whole project. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I guess it's sort of like going out and like wearing an outfit that you love. You just feel good. You're walking around and you're like, you know what, I look great and no one else can say otherwise. I feel that way about the brand. I'm like with the podcast, I'm like, this logo is sick. I'm like, we look great on Spotify or on an Apple podcast or whatever. Books Unbound looks gorgeous. And I feel like I feel very happy to push the brand and to like make merch about it, etc. Yeah, and I also think, like, it's something I would be totally proud to show people that I really respect. You know what I mean? Like, when I mention, like, oh, yes, I have this readathon that I run, thereadingrush.com, and I'm, like, talking to some author or something that I really care about, I want them to check it out and be like, hey, look how good it is.
What do you think has been the biggest lesson that you've learned over the 9 or 10 years that you've been building your personal brand, building these other brands? What is kind of the biggest lesson you think you've learned about branding?
Wow. That's a big question. That's a big question, Holly. I think actually it is what we were talking about just a few minutes ago, but it is that you can change your brand. Is this something I've talked about in different contexts and in different conversations, but I really am glad that I have always felt the freedom for my personal brand to change things up. And it's always led to the right path. Like, following my gut content-wise is always the right move. Like, if I think that something's a good idea, that means it's a good idea for me. And that's the person that I should be trying to make the happiest. Mm-hmm. Because I'm the one running this whole ship, right? If I'm starting to get fatigue or I'm starting to resent my own thing, the whole ship will sink. The ship will sink. So it's much better that I'm making sure that I'm really excited about my content, proud of my content. And therefore, if I start to feel like, oh, it's time for a pivot or it's time for a slight change, that I should trust that gut. It doesn't mean that it's not scary, because it's happened. Like, I mentioned the one big time that it happened, but it's happened other times in my career, and it's always scary. Like, it's always really scary when things like that start to happen or I start to feel some sort of a change, but it's always led me the right way to let that change happen. I would also say, similar to what we were just saying, but another important lesson for me has been creating more of a team and not doing everything myself.
Yeah.
So especially brand wise, because I have no talent when it comes to, like, you know, like Photoshop or something. Like, I now understand Photoshop. Thank God I've come so far. I now understand Photoshop, and, you know, I've always made my own thumbnails and stuff. And I think that I've definitely gotten better at a lot of my own branding, because I can throw together a nice thumbnail, if I do say so myself. But I don't think that I'm good at creating a logo or understanding, like, what's the perfect font. I mean, my reasoning for a font is that it's my name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to be the extent of my knowledge. So reaching out to someone and hiring someone and investing in myself is always scary. Again, it is always scary. I've had a lot of conversations with people about, like, how important it is to invest in yourself. And there's a fine line between treating yourself and investing in yourself. But, like, I, for example, a year ago, I desperately needed a new camera. Hilariously, I had broken up with my boyfriend at the time, and I was using his camera. And so I had to give him his camera back, right? Like, that was literally the only reason. And so because that happened, I had to go back to using my old camera. And I was like, no, you know what? I need to invest in myself, and I need to, like, actually trust myself and have confidence in myself that an expensive purchase, like a brand new camera, is going to be something that is going to help my brand, my image, my confidence, my content, everything. And so it was a very expensive investment, but I've never regretted it. Like, the second I paid off that credit card, I was like, I have not regretted this. And so in that same way, like, I'm really glad that I had invested in good branding for these different projects that I care about. Yes, maybe it's a bit more expensive. Like, it's obviously more money than doing it myself, because if it was just myself, it would be free. But, like, yes, it's money, but it has completely paid itself off, not only in, I think, how good it looks and how well others perceive it, but how proud I am of it. Yeah, so those are my two lessons, I think.
I love that. Okay, and so my last question for you, which might tie into some of those big lessons that you've just shared, is what advice would you give to some other creative out there, maybe another YouTuber or artist in some way, when it comes to branding their passion? What advice would you give them?
I think I would, it is very similar to what I've just said, but I think it would be to trust yourself and to have fun. I get asked a lot from people who watch my channel and are like, I want to start a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. What's your advice? And I'm like, obviously there's tech advice. And I'm like, film with natural lighting. It always looks better than not natural lighting. And like, there's like little tips like that and stuff. But the biggest piece of advice I always give to people is have fun. Like genuinely. I'm like, you can tell. I can tell when I'm watching a video and someone's having fun, or if they're feeling like they're doing a chore. And mm-hmm. if it's just slightly a chore feeling, I don't want to watch that video. I don't want to subscribe to that channel. I don't want to engage with that content. However, on the other hand, if I'm watching someone and I'm like, oh my goodness, they're having so much fun. They love books, right? Like that's my sphere. But I'm like, wow, this person loves books almost as much as I do. I'm like, this is as close as other people can come to loving books like me. And like when I see that in someone else, I get so excited. And so basically, I try and just advise people to do that in all aspects of life. And it's not about having fun all of the time. Like you said, right at the beginning, for a lot of people, this is kind of a dream job that I have, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting to work for myself and read books. It sounds beautiful when we put it that way. It isn't just me sitting around reading books. Oh God, I wish. Like, I really, really wish it was just me laying around all day long reading books, but it's not. It's a lot of sitting and replying to emails. I hate emails. That's a story for another day, but mm-hmm. it's just replying to emails and collaborating on things and setting things up and following up and chasing people to pay me. And like, it's a lot of admin and maintenance and idea making, et cetera, et cetera. Forward planning. Like, there's a lot of crap that goes into being self-employed. It isn't all fun. Mm-hmm. But when I'm sitting down to make the content, I'm having fun, right? And that, I think, is the core of everything else that operates around it. So I would say that with your brand, have fun. Like, let it be the thing that you want it to be, whether that's a personal brand and it's just yourself and allowing everything on your page to be pink, or always using, like, always having, I don't know, penguin imagery or something. Like, whatever that is for you, allow yourself to do that, because that's what's going to sustain for the longest. And whether it's more, even if it's more specific, like even if it's like, oh, I'm making a brand, like a logo, you can still have so much fun and imbue yourself in that logo. So have fun. That's it. Have fun. Trust your gut.
I love that. I think that's such beautiful advice. And I think, yeah, it just echoes everything that we've talked about today. So I am excited for people to hear that advice.
Yay.
And I'm thankful to hear it as well. So thank you.
Have fun, Holly.
Yeah, I will always. Okay, so thank you, Ariel. Do you want to tell the people where they can find you and something maybe that you've got going on right now that they can check out?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing that I'm most excited about right now is the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's Books Unbound. If you just type that in anywhere, it'll come up. But I think it's books_unbound on Instagram. But if you ever want to find me, it's just my name, Ariel Bissett, Bissett. Also, Ariel isn't spelled like the font, unfortunately. It's spelled like the mermaid. Yeah, and so you can always just find me. Thankfully, I'm Ariel Bissett everywhere on all platforms.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been so fun, and yay, I feel like people are going to get heaps out of this. So, yeah, thanks heaps, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for listening to this episode of Brand Your Passion and choosing to spend some time with me learning about branding, business, and all things creativity. You can find more episodes just like this one at blackandwhitestudios.nz/brandyourpassion. If you liked this one, you can tap that subscribe button so that you're notified about every new episode. And if you've got a spare second, I would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. I would love to hear from you and hear about how you're enjoying the podcast. If there were some helpful goodies in this episode for you, it would mean the world to me if you could screenshot your podcast player on your phone right now, hop over to Instagram or Twitter and tag me at Black and White Studios. That's at BLCKWHT Studios. By subscribing and reviewing and sharing, you're helping me to reach more creators just like you so that together we can make the world a more creative place, one brand at a time. I really can't achieve this mission without you, so your support means the world. I'll talk to you in the next episode, but until then, keep creating.